Welcome back to the deep dive. This is where we really try to get past the surface noise, look closely at the sources, and pull out the key ideas on some, well, really fascinating topics.
Absolutely.
And today we are taking a full plunge, not just scratching the surface. We're diving into something that touches on the unseen, the powerful, these forces around us, ministering spirits.
It's a big topic, a really profound one.
It really is. We're going to explore what these beings are, you know, their basic nature, what their mission, and the role they play in, well, our lives.
Right.
Really digging deep into Ministering Spirits by Ellen G. White. She was a really influential writer, and her accounts give this vibrant, almost narrative feel to it.
Very detailed descriptions. Together, they offer a pretty comprehensive picture, I think.
Definitely. So our mission today, pretty clear. Pull out the most important insights, maybe some surprising facts about these entities. We want to help you, our listener, get a real grasp of what they are, what they're doing, and how they connect to us.
Moving beyond just the general idea.
Exactly. It might just change how you see things. Yeah. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
First things first, got to start at the beginning. Mm. What do our sources actually tell us about who these ministering spirits are? Fundamentally, what are they?
Yeah, that's the crucial starting point. An important idea, especially, is quite clear. It straight up says these ministering spirits are angels.
Okay, angels.
Right. Run. It points to scripture, like Psalms and Hebrews, where angels are called spirits. But here's the really key distinction the sources make. They are created beings.
Created beings, not divine themselves.
Exactly. Not gods. They don't claim divinity. That immediately sets a boundary, you know?
Wow.
Their power, their authority, it's derived from God. It's not inherently theirs.
Got it. So created, not divine. What's their main job then?
Well, their primary role is actually quite profound. It's about teaching us, guiding us towards the word of God.
Teaching. Like instructors.
In a way, but it's deeper. They don't speak of themselves. They don't push their own agenda. They're like pure channels. Influencing us to understand God's mind, God's will.
Hmm, channels.
Messengers, yes, but more. And here's something really interesting. The sources describe them as partakers of the divine nature.
Partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean exactly?
It means they share in or reflect divine qualities like holiness, wisdom, love, just like humans are called to do, actually.
So there's a connection there.
Right.
Between them and us.
A definite parallel. It suggests they can connect with us with real empathy, understand our struggles, because they too are connected to that divine source. It's not just a detached duty for them.
That idea of them partaking in divine nature,
mm-hmm.
It really adds a layer. It's not just celestial messengers delivering mail.
Not at all. It implies this deep connection, the shared spiritual aspiration almost. They understand the divine mind because they're reflecting its essence. And they guide us from that place of connection.
Okay, that's a really strong foundation. Created beings, angels, partaking in divine nature, guiding us.
Yeah.
But not gods themselves.
Precisely.
So if we know who they are, the next big question is, what do they actually do? How involved are they in our world? Let's pull back that curtain.
Right. And this is where the EGW excerpts really paint a vivid picture. They show this constant active involvement. It's not passive.
Active how?
Well, first off, it says all heavenly angels are serving humble, believing people, not just a select few angels for special occasions.
All of them.
That's the implication. A vast organized force. They're described quite powerfully as invisible armies of light and power.
Armies. Wow.
Yeah. Attending the meek, the lowly who just trust God's promises. And it mentions specific types too. Cherubim, seraphim, these incredibly powerful beings standing at God's right hand involved in this service.
So serious backup.
Definitely underscores the power dedicated to this. And their core mission. It comes back to that scripture, Hebrews 1.14. All ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That's the job description.
Ministering to the heirs of salvation. Okay, but how? What does that look like day to day?
Well, here's a detail that really stands out. These invisible agencies, they observe every word and every deed.
Every single one.
That's what it says. Whether you're in a business meeting, relaxing, or in worship, there are, and I quote, more listeners than can be seen with the natural sight.
Huh. That's a lot to take in. It's not just being watched judgmentally, though. It sounds more like witnessing.
Exactly. It implies an active, almost empathetic witness to everything we go through. The sources talk about times when the curtain is sort of drawn aside and we get a glimpse of these unseen witnesses.
A glimpse. How?
More like a mental awareness, perhaps. A moment where your thoughts consider them and they aren't just passively watching. They keep a faithful record.
A record of everything.
A faithful, precise record of words and deeds, any act of cruelty, any injustice towards God's people, all the suffering, it's registered in heaven.
Wow. So nothing is missed? No injustice goes unnoticed.
That seems to be the message.
Yeah.
It speaks of this huge cosmic accountability, but also maybe a deep compassion that every experience is acknowledged. It definitely adds weight to our daily actions, doesn't it?
It really does. It's staggering, but also kind of comforting to know there's that level of awareness.
I think so. And think about this specific example. The sources mention the two most exalted angels, the ones who are at Christ's tomb later.
Yeah.
They ministered to Jesus himself throughout his life, strengthening him, soothing him during his suffering. They waited for him when he returned to heaven.
So even Jesus had this angelic support.
Exactly. And if beings that powerful served him, it really highlights the importance, the sacredness of their service to us. It's ongoing, whether we see it or not.
Okay, so they ministered to Christ. They're watching us, recording things.
Hmm.
What does this mean for us then? How do they actually interact with people, with communities? Does it move beyond watching?
Oh, absolutely. It moves directly into interaction and protection. The sources are clear. Angels actively guard believers from the power of evil angels, from the darkness Satan tries to spread.
They fight back?
In a sense, yes, they protect. And it also says these invisible agencies work through human beings.
Through us. How?
Helping people proclaim God's commandments, for instance. It suggests a much more direct, collaborative role than many might think. They're not just way off somewhere.
Collaboration. That's interesting.
Very. It leads to this key idea. We're called to be consecrated channels for God's love. And every true worker, it says, is connected with these heavenly instrumentalities.
So it's a partnership.
Exactly. God works through people who cooperate, and angels are part of that divine setup, facilitating it. And here's a detail that really jumps out. Sometimes angels veil their angelic appearance. They appear as ordinary men to talk with people, to enlighten them.
They actually show up, like in disguise.
That's what the text says. It's not just theory. It's described as a real, tangible interaction, blurring that line between the visible and invisible.
That is incredible. It makes it feel so much more immediate. Personal.
It does. Their main work, remember, is to draw those who shall be heirs of salvation. And part of that is actively keeping back the powers of Satan.
Holding back evil forces.
Right. And while they naturally prefer heaven's atmosphere, their job requires them to bring that heavenly atmosphere, that peace, that clarity to us, especially when we're tempted or struggling.
Bringing heavenly atmosphere, like changing the spiritual weather around us.
That's a good way to put it. It's not just abstract. Their ministry is broad, comforting the sorrowing, protecting the impenitent even, trying to win hearts, guiding, directing.
Protecting the impenitent, even those not actively seeking God.
Apparently so. Working to draw everyone. They also help bring people together, fostering that close brotherhood and oneness Christ talked about.
Like building community.
Yes. Think of Enoch. The text says, if Enoch walked with God, the angels of God walked with Enoch. It's a picture of that close, ongoing cooperation.
Angels walking with Enoch. That's a powerful image. And this idea of them bringing a heavenly atmosphere, it's like they're actively trying to influence our state of mind, our spirit.
Exactly. It's not just external protection.
Okay, so given this really personal, deep level of interaction, it makes you wonder about the sheer scale. How many are there? And how fast do they respond when we actually need help?
Yeah, the scale is... well, mind-boggling. The sources use numbers like 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands.
So they're basically countless.
Innumerable. An immense celestial workforce dedicated to humanity. And they're constantly active, constantly ascending and descending, carrying out their mission of watchfulness and love.
Everywhere. Or just certain places.
Everywhere. In the cities, towns, and villages. It's global, pervasive, always present.
Who sends them? Is it like they decide where to go?
No, they get their commission directly from God. God whose eye beholds all things. And here's something truly profound.
What's that?
God sends help from heaven, often before the prayer for help is even uttered.
Before we even ask.
Yes. He commissions the aid beforehand. Our prayer might be more like acknowledging or activating help that's already on the way.
Wow. That really changes how you think about prayer, doesn't it? It's not just us asking and then maybe getting a response.
It suggests a proactive grace, a divine foreknowledge and care that's already in motion.
That's incredible.
And the sources really want us to get this. You are not alone in the warfare against wrong. It says if that curtain could just be pulled back,
we'd see them.
You'd see heavenly angels fighting with you. It specifically mentions them guarding the youth. They're described as being round about us as a wall of fire.
A wall of fire.
Actively pushing back the darkness, assuring us that Satan can't ultimately hurt us if we trust God. The message is clear. All of heaven is interested in our salvation.
All of heaven.
And these heavenly intelligences, these angels, they are ready and willing to cooperate with anyone who tries to follow God's ways. Mm. It's a constant, powerful, incredibly responsive presence.
What an absolutely incredible deep dive. We've gone from understanding who they are, these created beings, partaking in divine nature.
Right, not gods themselves.
To seeing their constant active presence, observing everything, recording things with empathy.
That faithful record.
Then to how they directly interact, protecting us, cooperating, even showing up in human form.
Veiling their appearance, yeah.
And finally, understanding this immense scale, this countless host, and the sheer immediacy of their help, sometimes arriving even before we ask.
It paints a picture of a universe just filled with this active, supportive, unseen force.
It really does. A universe far more connected, far more cared for than maybe we usually think about.
And it really highlights our potential role in this, too. Our chance to cooperate with this divine help that's already around us.
Yeah, and that leads perfectly to a final thought for you, the listener, to sort of chew on. Given everything we've heard, that angels are constantly working to draw people to God, protect them, act even before we ask, what does that really imply about our own readiness? Our readiness to receive that help?
That's a big question.
Right. How does it change how we recognize or acknowledge their unseen work in our lives? And what does it mean for us to become truly active co-workers with God in all this? It's a partnership, this profound connection happening all the time.
Something to definitely think about.
Absolutely. Think about that until next time here on The Deep Dive.
If you enjoyed this study and would like to learn more, please go to revelationwithdaniel.com. and search for Angels Studies. You will find a growing list of this type of podcasts.